Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Daniel Hobbs, and my co-host today is Life Coach Juanita Harris, who has a great wisdom to bring God's people into understanding about the power of marriage, its power and its potential. We are having an incredible conversation about the principle of oneness, this incredible mystery that is manifested in the union between a husband and a wife. And this oneness that we're talking about, we're not referring to two people coming together and becoming an immense blob in a marriage, but we're talking about the reality that God calls a man and a woman to come into a union, separate entities, but through covenant and the power of a oneness, take on an identity as a couple, as a team, that walk and operate in a vision and in a purpose of synergy that has the power to allow them to overcome the world and take dominion. And so I want to ask Juanita if she would introduce our guest today so that we can enter into a deeper understanding about the power and the reality of oneness in marriages.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Lisa and Claude Milhouse, who happen to be my children. Lisa is my oldest and firstborn, and they're from the Valley in L.A. County, California. They've been married for over 17 years. They have one son, Simon, my darling, and he's 3 years old, and they'll talk about him later on. They both love the Lord and had accepted their purpose before they were married. So today we're going to talk to them about oneness even prior to their marriage. And as I was asked to think of couples, they came to mind because they have successfully, for over 17 years, gone through some pretty hard times, and their marriage has survived it. Even as Christians, their marriage has survived the traumas of life that they have managed to overcome with the help of Jesus Christ. And so they're going to share with you some of the things that, first of all, that they encountered even before they got married and how they met and things like that.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be to have been asked to join you today. And I think Claude is the head, so I think really the story starts with him, because if he hadn't been where he was, then we would have never have met.
We met in Virginia. My mother-in-law, Juanita, she was kind of instrumental in really, you know, letting me find out that she had a daughter named Lisa. Because she always talked about her daughter Lisa. She was praying for her daughter Lisa. And there's this wonderful woman named Lisa that I kept on hearing about. So circumstances finally got us together, and we met at a pop blessing, one of our cell groups. And we started talking at the pop blessing, and now we're here, and we haven't stopped talking. But we found out that we had a lot in common. You know, first of all, Jesus Christ, because without him, there's no point in doing this the right way.
And I was a relatively new Christian in the church. My mother being instrumental in my life, in that she wanted me to. I was living with my family, and I needed to leave a situation urgently that I was in. I was in a bad. My testimony is that I was in a really bad situation, bad relationship. It was an abusive relationship, both mentally, emotionally, and physically, and I had to leave quickly. So when I did, my parents, my family welcomed me home with open arms, and through them, I began the healing. The other part was where I needed to heal, which was spiritually. I needed God in my life. And my mom was like, hey, you living at home? You come in the church. And that's where
Amen.
I met the love of my life, was in church.
Wow. You know, it's important that we understand that God puts a divine attraction in our circumstance and our situation to get us in the right places at the right time. I love the story of Ruth, how her mother-in-law was telling her to get positioned to meet her Boaz. And then when you hear your story, I don't think you guys could have pulled off this dramatic coming together yourself.
No.
It did have to take the hand of God to bring you guys to the place of oneness. So when you guys met each other, this oneness, did it happen automatically or was it a process?
Oh, it was definitely a process. Because I was still hurting from the last relationship, and I was, as a matter of fact, I thought we hit it off, and we were great pals, buddies, friends. He even asked me after our initial meeting and how we talked. Part of what he talked about was, I could sure use help working in the youth with the youth. These young girls always want to talk to me about girl stuff, but I don't want to hear that. I need a woman or young lady with me that they can talk to. So that's how he got me working with him. But we were friends. We just hung out. You know, we would hang out with the other people in our church that were our age, the other young people. But we had no interest until.
Well, you know, I have a different spin on it. we weren't aware that it was starting the minute we met because we weren't going into it really thinking about anything but this friendship, you know, helping the ministry, like Lisa said. But about 6 months later, 5 months later, I realized that my heart was pining for this woman. And I think with this topic of oneness, it started because when Lord is drawing someone together, you know, and especially we prayed about it. We did not want to get in the way. Didn't want the flesh to get in the way. We prayed about it. I was stressing and said, Lord, is this the one? I can't believe this is the person that you brought in my life. I just want to do your will. I finally got to a place where I wasn't looking for anybody. And then when I started hearing the Lord talk to my heart about Lisa, I was terrified because I was saying, okay, I didn't start this. The Lord started this. And I was it was out of my control. All I had to do was say yes, and I was terrified of just trusting God.
And I was terrified of just stepping into something that another relationship when, you know, and I didn't trust anything myself, and I was still so young in the Lord that I didn't know if I was hearing right from God, if it was God or if it was me. So it was a very scary time for me to take that chance, but I did. I went ahead and took that step of faith and said, "Well, Lord, you know, if he's not for me, then Lord, you just move him out of the way."
This is a great story to hear because we have people that are listening to our show that are married, but those that feel the call to marriage, and they really don't understand the process of moving from singleness to oneness in marriage. And it is a great process that we try to communicate to people to understand that it's an ongoing, life-going process of becoming the one, the state, the couple, the team that God's called us to be. And I would like to talk about, after we get back from this break, is how did you guys discover what your identity was going to be as a couple? How did you discover your purpose? Because we know that vision, and you guys are living a life of vision for your life as individual, but also as a couple. How did you guys move into understanding what your identity was as a couple and how that was translated into an actual vision to accomplish something God wanted to do that was great in your life? We'll be right back.
Now, I don't want to lose the time that we have.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. and register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to a special edition of the Voice of Destiny show, our Couples for Destiny segment, to empower you to be, do, and have everything God has called you to be in your redemptive covenant relationships. It's very important that we in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom culture, begin to build the principles and the revelation around marriage, because it is a great mystery that reminds us of the connection that Christ has with the church, but also it is a redemptive happening that has the power to bring healing and a restoration and reconstruction to our society and our community. We often refer to the incredible statistics that 50% of the couples that are getting married in our American culture are heading to divorce, but we got to look at the other side of that, that the other 50 have found a way to practice the principles of oneness, to retain a oneness and a happy union, a covenant union that God's called them to. And for this end, we've invited our guests today, Claude and Lisa Milhouse, to share with us their journey for oneness in their marriage. And we were talking before we left on the last segment about the importance of us understanding the identity of a couple and the purpose of a couple and the vision of a couple. What has God shown you guys over the years concerning your identity and your purpose and how to flow in oneness in this area?
Well, that's all started in our premarital counseling. That was the strongest base for us. And I advocate that to anybody who's married, please meet with your minister and get counseling ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As he said, that was the foundation and the preparation. It definitely helped me, even in the years, our first, early years of our marriage, I would think back to the conversations that we had and that our pastor was, saying, helping us to understand who we were as individuals. And that there wasn't going to always be easy times. There was going to be a day where that, what they call that honeymoon phase, is going to be over, and then you're going to roll over and look at that person and be like, ah, what are you? Why are you
still here? Oh God!
And why are you still here? So there are those, you're going to, and how to get through those days and how to understand, okay, I am who I am, and that's the way I'm going to be, and he is who he is, and it's the way he's going to be. And those things that attracted us, just to continue to focus on, on those things that attract, and don't focus so much on those things that we may not find as attractive.
Pre-marriage counseling, it wasn't as easy as you would think, because in between time, Claude left the military and moved back to California, and we were in Virginia. So they had long distance. He had to fly back to Virginia for this young lady.
I think twice a year for about 2 years, I would fly to Virginia from California for our premarital counseling.
He's a very determined. He's always been a very determined person with what he wants. He doesn't give up. So, and I think that's all a part of, when it comes to a relationship and finding our place. When you talk about oneness and finding our place, is that he knew that he wanted me. He knew he wanted to be married. And so did I. Mm-hmm. That we wanted to be together. And going through the years, that's what we continue to see, even in our, while we continue to work together in our ministry. We started off working together before we got married, and we continued on even afterwards when we started doing mime, working with youth. Everything we did it together. We served God together, and I think that's part of that oneness, and maybe where things didn't get off track for us, where, unfortunately we've seen a lot of couples, a lot of marriages on the rocks, or have that people have been married longer than us that have divorced, and that's one of the things that I think kind of gets lost over the years, is that not coming back together, not doing things to, you know, to keep your relationship with each other strong. One thing I always admired about my parents was that my dad was a very focused person on how he treated his wife, in that they dated. So one of my memories as a kid was them getting all dressed up and, you know, and I'm like, where are you going? Where are you guys going? And my dad was like, I'm taking your mom out. And I was like, well, I want to go. Can I go too? And he was just like, no. So this is for me and your mom, and you can't go. And I, you know, and now as an adult, it's those kind of things that I realized that's what, you know, that's what I wanted to emulate in my marriage relationship.
Wow.
It's very important to continue to have date nights, no matter how many kids you got at home. Continue to have those date nights. All of that, you can't take it for granted. That person that's waking up next to you is going to always be there.
Yeah.
It's like our relationship with God. You start talking to God, you start having a relationship with God, how do you expect your relationship with God to continue to strengthen if you're not doing anything, you know, to continue to build upon it? And it's the same way with a marriage relationship.
To bring some reality to this, we have not been perfect in everything we just said.
What?
And the rest of the nation of couples.
Okay. No, we didn't do the date nights when we needed it. We didn't have our one time when we needed it. We didn't communicate when we were supposed to a lot of times. Here's the beauty, and because we honor and respect God, and we really see this as a three-person relationship, me, Lisa, and Jesus, He's always wiser, and He always brings us back to these fundamental things that we know to be true in our marriage.
Yeah.
Claude, have you been showing your wife the love that she needs? No. Well, get back on it, Miss Elisa.
Wow.
Are you talking to Claude the right way? No. Well, soften that voice. And there's stretches of times where, okay, we haven't been on a date like we're supposed to. Claude, you know it's time. It's past time to take your wife on a date. Surprise her. And God, and that's the beauty of relationship that lasts is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, a fairy tale. You have to work at it. Things get in the way of the relationship. You have to come back to those fundamental truths. You have to listen to Jesus when he tells you, or have the Lord forgive you when you haven't been listening to him. And I keep on talking about listening to Jesus because, yes, it's about me and Lisa, but it's about Jesus. He has to tell us.
Yeah,
and we have to listen. We have to obey. We have to obey the word says how to treat each other. I'm supposed to love my wife.
Wow.
She's supposed to honor me. And I'm supposed to honor her, and guess what? She's going to love me.
I think that it's important that we understand that even though God puts an attraction there for us to come together, and we love one another, we love the sight of one another, the smell of one another, the touch of one another, marriage requires a unique work ethic to stay at it and to stay focused on the vision for the purpose for which God has brought us together as a husband and a wife. And there's a great reward for it. There's a great reward. But it's these great principles that we all recognize of God putting in motion in our life that allows us to find our place back to where we've gone astray. And so let's take a break and come back and give couples some of the best wisdom about putting the marital work ethic at play. Even though God is doing his part, we must do our part. But when we know the kind of things that we need to give a good attention to, it will really help us to be the part of the 50% whose marriages are fulfilling the lasting promise of death do we part. We'll be right back.
And God loses love. And you lose your love. And I lose my love.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to a special segment of the Voice of Destiny show, our Couples for Destiny Hour, so that we as husbands and wives and those that are called to marriage would understand that God does have plans and principles and strategies for us to experience the lasting promise of oneness in marriage. And I want to remind you that you can access this incredible conversation 24/7 at voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. And we're praying for you. We're praying for your marriage. We're praying for your oneness. And if there's something particular that you want us to pray for, please email us at info@voiceofdestiny.org. That's info@voiceofdestiny.org. So Lisa and Claude, we were talking about some incredible principles about oneness in marriage, and we were talking about the need to recognize there's a work ethic that needs to be cultivated in a marriage. What are some of the things that you need, that we need to do to be more intentional and work hard at to preserve the union that God's given us?
Well, there's something that's interesting. Years ago when we first got married, I was studying about, of course, women submitting to husbands and husbands loving wives. And I was seeing how the Lord really puts it on the man more than the woman, making the men to really put your wife on a pedestal, you know, of love. You have to treat her in all kinds of all manners of love. You have to love her when you feel it. You have to love her when you don't feel it. It's a call to agape, that highest form of love that's beyond yourself. And at first it's like, well, God, that's not fair. How come I get the hard job and all she has to do is respect me?
Wow.
She's already built to love. Women are built to love. But men, they have to have that respect. And it is all full circle. Just recently we've been reintroduced to love and respect through a curriculum that we're studying right now. And it deals with love and respect. And without love and respect, the marriage really has a lot of things that's going to be shaky and is going to fall apart, because the man wants to be respected. And, you know, far above almost anything else, the man wants to be respected. If the wife is respecting him in the way he feels he needs it, he's going to be more receptive to showing love. But the woman, she needs to be loved. And if she doesn't feel she's loved, it's going to be hard for her to respect that man. Okay? It's like, how can I respect you when you don't love me? You know? And so it becomes official crazy life of yelling and screaming and shutting people out because someone has to give. And guess who has to give first?
Wow.
The man. You know, now, of course, if there's a spiritually mature woman, she gets the job. She has to bend first. But in the general scheme of things, the man has to bend first. And it's not a bend because she's going to respect me, or a bend until she respects me. You have to bend in spite of her respecting you at all. It's not about, it's not contingent on if the other one's going to do what God said. You have to be that way anyway, forever. And somebody has to make up their mind from either love or respect until Jesus comes back, no matter what happens. And when both people act that way, you know, that's when things start to click and be better.
In fact, I always said that I respected my husband, and I knew he loved me. And in through all kinds of things that work. And when I hear people who, you know, women talking with disrespect to their husbands, and I apologize, Claude, Lisa's like her dad. When I hear that, I know that if they would just back down from that, the man can, you know, he can love them. But you need to have a man that you respect. And I said something once in a meeting, and I'm sure it didn't go over well, but I said it anyway, that if you're not with a man that you can respect, then maybe that's not the man you should be with. And that's one thing that you need to look at. If you're putting this man down and this thing, you're going to talk about him in a disrespectful way, or you don't have any respect for him, then maybe he's not the one you should be with, and you should back away from that relationship.
You know, that's interesting. It goes the same way with the love. You can't love the one you're with. It's like, maybe this isn't the one. And you know what? I love telling this story. You know, is that when I felt myself falling in head over heels with Lisa, we had taken the teens to King's Dominion, the Young Amusement Park. And we went there, and all the kids, they were scattered, and I was left with Lisa. And she got tired. I mean, really tired, where she had to sit down for a while, and she fell asleep on my shoulder. And I was sitting there wide awake, waiting until she got her energy back. But all of a sudden, I felt this. I can do this for the rest of my life. I love this woman, whatever you want to feel. And God showed me, it's like, well, can you truly love her forever? And he showed me when she's tired, when she's weak, when she's agitated, when she's not herself, when she's not the one you fell in love with. She's going to need somebody strong enough to love her, period, at all times. Can you do the job? And that's the Lord on my heart. He showed me my life with her 10 years down the road. Can you be just like this with her leaning on your shoulder and you taking care of her just here on this bench? Can you every walk for the rest of her life?
Let's recognize that this great responsibility that we as men have, it is a duty to love, but it's also a duty to be respectable, not to make it difficult for the women that we're connected to, as well as the spouses, ladies that we're connected to be able to have love and respect for us. This conversation is so incredible. I'd like for you guys to join us on the next show to continue to talk about the principle of oneness and how do we get there? How do we realize that? Because it is God's plan for us to be models and examples in the culture and our oneness. Brothers and sisters, remember today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you. Voice of Destiny is available to you 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. God bless.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.